hey, immediately after the show today, I'm going to change into my gym clothes and I'm going to drive to the gym and I'm going to work out for an hour. That's so funny. I'm only kidding.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I can't believe I said that.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I would never do that.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, that's it.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, I'm the host. I'm the host. Hey, look at me, I'm the host. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Make yourself comfortable. This could take a little while. Not too long, believe me, because I don't want to be here any longer than you do. Believe me, I don't. Any more than I want to go to the gym. Later in the program, we'll have a very interesting guest, in my opinion. We're slated to talk about, what would happen if all of a sudden you lost your job? What would happen if all of a sudden your car broke down and you couldn't drive it at all and you needed another car? What would happen if there was some medical emergency and your insurance didn't cover it or the deductible was $10 million or something? What would you do? What would you do? That's what we're going to talk about. We have a financial expert with us, not to invest or anything, but just how do you put up with some unexpected money drainer that you don't have the money for it? Credit cards? What do you do? So we'll discuss that later on in the program. Oh boy, can't wait. Well, how are you today? You feeling all right? You're looking okay. I mean, not great, you know, but you're looking all right. You're looking passable for a human being. I got to admit something to you, because I like to stand by my guns. Not that I own any. Well, maybe I do, but that's not the point. That's not what we're talking about. I like to stand by my principles, and every year, as I've said on the show many times, I join the gym once a year because their introductory prices around Christmas time are just amazing. I go to Planet Fitness, which is sounds like a science club, but it's not. It's a gym, and I go there not to work out, just to sign up for the year, and then that's it for a whole year, and then I don't show up again. I think we all prefer it that way. They have a special that they run toward the end of the year, which virtually ends up to be $10 a month, which is less than the cost of having one drink a month, one alcoholic beverage. And believe me, I have more than one alcoholic beverage per month. I can't even say it. That's so many I have. I can't even say what I have without mumbling somehow. Around 10 bucks a month, that's even less than that. So how can you not sign up for that? I mean, you do it just because you've got to do something for yourself and for your health and for your body and your mind. So you do it, and you feel that once you pay the money for that, whether you go to the gym or not, you've accomplished something. It's kind of like a mental exercise is what it is. So I did that again this year. And as usual, then I left the gym and I never went back. It's been about a month now, and yesterday I actually put my gym clothes on. I have one set of gym clothes because I never wear them. There's really no point. Why would you have more than one set of clothes when you don't wear the first set? It doesn't make any sense, does it? So I put them on, and I must say I look adorable in my gym clothes. I really do. It's the only thing that I may look adorable in. And even to refer to myself as looking adorable in anything is a little awkward for me right now. I have sweatpants that I wear, but I've made it a rule, even though they're called sweatpants, there's no reason to sweat in them. That doesn't give you a license to sweat in your pants. I don't think anybody wants to sweat in their pants, or at least talk about that phrase, sweating in your pants. It sounds disgusting. And I have a t-shirt that I wear, which fits me rather well. It accentuates the finer attributes of my torso. It's perfectly fit, and it works very, very well. So I put that on, and then I put a winter coat over it all, because it's the winter time here. And I drove to the gym. Driving to the gym was quite an experience. I laughed all the way, just as I did at the beginning of the show, because I found myself doing something extremely humorous that I would never do under normal circumstances. I said to myself as I was driving in the car, "Ron, are you high or something? Are you on drugs? Are you inebriated? Why are you going to the gym? Do you feel guilty? What's wrong with you mentally?" I got through all of that. The gym's about 5 minutes from my house, not even, a very short car trip, so I didn't have much time to go through this mentally. I park in front of the gym, and I just sat there staring at the front door of Planet Fitness, just wondering what's going on with me. What's with this action in my life where I actually put on gym clothes and are headed toward the gym and about to walk in? What's wrong with me? It's not like me to do that at all. Is it a need to sweat in my pants and wear sweatpants? What is it? I got out of my car and I walked toward the building like I was going to my death. It was kind of interesting. It was like the Grim Reaper was going to meet me at the opening to a Planet Fitness building. Yeah. So I walk in, and there's a big desk there where you're supposed to flash your identification card, your membership card, and then you can get by the desk. Let me tell you something. I can get by the desk without flashing a card. They'll chase me down, but I can walk. There's no security gate. There's no Mexican wall or anything. There are a couple of people behind the desk there as you're walking in. One guy is incredibly fit. He's the guy in that commercial that says, "I could pick them up and I put them down," whatever. People who have tremendous muscles, you have to take away from the brain for that. Have you noticed that? Very, very fit, muscular people are a little bit minus in the brain area. I don't think that the human body can have both at the same time. I don't think it's allowed by law, and it seems to metaphysically not be possible. If you're very well cut and you have what you call a six-pack, to me having a six-pack is having six beers in the car, ready to open whenever you need them. Ron, do you have a six-pack? I got an entire case in the garage. That's not what I mean, Ron. So these really well-built guys and girls, they're very, very impressive body-wise for them, but you talk to them, and they had to take away from upstairs to make the downstairs look good. And then you notice in life that these geeky little skinny people who look like they're you could blow them down with a huff and a puff and I'll blow your body down, these little skinny scrawny people are incredibly intelligent. Their brains are like these model industries going on in there. They're like building cities in their minds and building computer systems, and they're incredibly intelligent. You can't apparently have both. You can't. You can't do it. I chose in my life to have the incredible brain power, and I've let my body kind of take a back seat. And proudly so. So I walk into the gym. One guy is incredibly, incredibly built, incredible torso. Not only a six pack, he's got like 20 packs. And then there's a girl standing next to him who looks like she never worked out in her life, like she just got out of a social studies class in high school, and they're paying her minimum wage to stand behind a desk and to take up a little bit of space. That's all. I walk in, they smile at me, I smile back. Okay, some social things are going on here. I flash my little card in front of the little laser gun or whatever it is, and it goes beep, which means, okay, you're a human being, you paid for the membership, go in and have a great time. I do. The first thing I do is I go to the treadmill, because I feel like acting like a gerbil. So I get on the treadmill, and I assume someone wiped it down. I wipe it down again, because I don't know where any of these people have been in this gym. Yeah, just because they have a membership doesn't mean that they're clean. What I really like about Planet Fitness is not the workout equipment, not the people, not the buildings. It's the purple pens, man. I love those things. I love purple pen. I love purple ink. I don't know why. There's something attractive about it. Maybe it's that I'm so sick of black ink and blue ink. You don't even see a lot of blue ink pens anymore. They're all black ink ballpoint pens. And every pen I haven't bought a pen in 20 years. I have not gone to a stationery store, an office supply store, a department store, any kind of store to buy a pen. There is no reason in the world that anybody should ever buy a pen again. Everywhere you go, every trade show, every public event, every bank, every everything gives you a free pen. It is the promotional piece of the century. If you actually went to a store and bought a pen, you're an asshole. You don't get it. You don't pay for stuff that you can get for free. Ever. Pens, number one, never pay for a pen again. Number two, plastic water bottles. If you go to the store and buy a plastic water bottle, you're missing out on the fact that everywhere you go, they'll give you one of these for free. Everywhere. There are other items. You figure it out for yourself. Anyway, so I get into the Planet Fitness thing, the purple pen place, and yeah, I'm just excited about the purple ink. It's just so different. It's not effeminate. It's not masculine. It's just wonderful. The purple is just, I don't know what it is about purple, man. It turns me on. Not sexually at all. And not gastronomically. I don't know why. It's just purple is good. I don't know. If I saw someone wearing a purple shirt, I'd go, oh, no. A purple gymnasium? Wow, that's fantastic. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's it about. So I get on the treadmill. And the only thing that keeps me on a treadmill is I dangle a piece of cheese in front of me on a rope, similar to a mouse or a gerbil. It's the only thing that keeps me going. And I'm on the treadmill. I'm looking around, and some people apparently have been on the treadmill for an hour. I do a good solid 90 seconds. But a good 90 seconds, you know what I mean? I work my ass off for 90 seconds. I work up a sweat in my pants. They have about 10 TVs on the wall in front of these treadmills, and you can watch any station you want, and if you bring a little headset or some earbuds, whatever those are, you can listen to whatever channel you want as you're watching it. And this is supposed to pass the time. It doesn't. It doesn't pass the time because when I'm exercising, my head bobs up and down, and I can't see the TV screen. It makes me dizzy. So that doesn't work for me. So 90 seconds on the treadmill, and I'm feeling good. Next thing I go to is the, I think it's called the elliptical machine. It looks like you're skiing, but you're not going anywhere. I get on that a little bit, and I do another 90 seconds there. That's my rotation, 90 seconds everywhere, no more than that. And then I get on the exercise bike. Now, I have an exercise bike at home. I was watching TV, the Home Shopping Club, and there's an exercise bike for $99. Now, $99 is a lot of money, but it's this exercise bike, and it's recumbent, which means it don't go nowhere. It's frustrating to be on a bicycle for a period of time and you're still in the same spot. It just doesn't... Bicycles aren't supposed to be stationary. They are vehicles, and when you move your feet, so moves the vehicle, and you get somewhere. There's a reward to your movement. There's no reward on a stationary bicycle. By definition, it's stationary. You don't go nowhere. Even if I started pedaling in the living room and I ended up in the kitchen, that at least would be something. But this bike goes nowhere at all. It doesn't. It's stupid. They make these bicycle seats, and real bicycles, not even talking about exercise, but real bicycles, for some reason, when I was growing up, bicycles had gigantic seats. That thing that you sit on the bicycle, the bicycle seat is what they call it, I believe. That thing was huge. Maybe our asses were larger when I was growing up, I don't know. But it was a huge thing, and you sat on this bicycle seat, and it was fine. It was a bicycle seat. Now, all the bicycles, the seats are really tiny. You're not sitting on the bicycle. You're inserting the bicycle up your ass is pretty much what's going on. Those seats go right up the crack. Like we're starting a colonoscopy, whether you like it or not. The tiniest little seats. I mean, my ass is like three times the size of bicycle seats. Why even have the bicycle seat? Why just not just sit on that little stem pole on the bicycle and... I don't understand why they're so small. A friend of mine took me to a spinning class, and I thought it was like we were going to make sweaters with yarn, but apparently a spinning class is nothing but a bunch of people sweating in their pants. There's an instructor in front of about 20 bicycles that are going to go nowhere. They're all stationary, and this wired drill sergeant person stands at the head of the class and yells at you and tries to make you pedal faster and faster and faster and faster, and then tells you to stand up on the pedals. Don't even sit on the bicycle. Just stand up as you're pedaling. It's exhausting and it's demeaning. My immediate reaction is shut the hell up. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to ride a bike. And they're playing music like real loud, like that's supposed to make you pedal faster. I'm pedaling fast because I'm angry at what I did to myself by going to this spinning class to begin with. After about 3 minutes of what they call spinning, quote-unquote spinning, I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm going to die. And I said to the instructor, I'm not feeling well. I feel dizzy. I feel like I'm going to die. And the instructor said, oh, that's the exercise high. I said, oh, so when I'm lying on my deathbed with emphysema, that's going to be a wonderful high. Is that what you're saying? The sicker I feel, the dizzier I feel like I'm going to pass out, that's just a nice mellow high. What are you talking about? She says, yes, there's something called an exercise high where you feel marvelous. I said, well, I don't feel marvelous. I feel like I want to kill you. That's a high in a sense, because that's my goal in life, is to alienate everybody that I see, and it's working out. So thanks for the exercise spinning class, but I'm sorry, not again. Next time I want to be in excruciating pain, I will just take a screwdriver and shove it up my ass and make believe I'm exercising. How about that? It's a confusing world that I live in, ladies and gentlemen. It confuses the hell out of me. Needless to say, that was my inaugural trip this year to the Planet Fitness gym, and my last, but on my way out, knowing I would never go back for at least another year, or ever, I took my hand, and there was I grabbed about 10 of those purple pens, and now I feel like, well, my mission has been accomplished.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
You can listen to the Ron Van Dam Show every single weekday. There's a brand new show. Yeah, I'm committed, or should be, one or the other, somewhere. That verb will be used. And we're on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, Podbean Network, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, the Alexa thing on your Amazon Alexa. She plays our show as well. We're just all over the place. If you go to the bathroom and lift up the toilet lid, one of our episodes should be floating right there. Hello, Ted.
Hi, Ron.
Ted Beck is here. He's president and CEO, National Endowment for Financial Education, which is a nonprofit. And we're talking about being financially prepared in case of lost income. And I hear the term income shock. What does that mean?
Well, it's defined as a 10% or more drop in your income year over year, which was kind of a shock for all of us if you've been through it, which, you know, I have, and I'm sure many of your listeners have. Now, the scary thing is that our research shows us that 96% of men between the ages of 25 and 70 during their working career actually suffer four or more of these income shocks, which is a big number and surprised us. Likewise, over 60% were out of work for a year or more. So these are real issues, and the causes are health. Somebody had a disability or something happened to them, their health, job loss, and divorce.
That's true. I guess it can also occur like a click of the fingers where it just blindsides you.
Yeah, we asked a similar question just over the last year. How many people had had an income surprise? And again, almost two-thirds had, and the culprits there were... the big one was your car broke down. Then something happened to your house, or you got a medical bill you weren't expecting. So it's really not a question of if these are going to happen. It's a question of when, and how do you best be prepared for it?
It's almost like buying insurance, I suppose. You hope it never happens, but chances are at some point something could. That's why you have insurance. So I guess you're setting yourself up here with your psychological insurance.
Yeah, and one of the best ways to do that is building an emergency fund. And, and interestingly, only about half American families have an emergency fund set aside. And surprisingly, and sometimes they don't even use them when there's an emergency. So they instead they borrow or from friends, family, or credit cards. So one of the things to remember is if you have an emergency fund, it's actually okay to use it in an emergency. And then you can rebuild it down the road. But that's what it's there for.
Yeah. That's discipline, isn't it, though? I mean, there's that money, and then something comes up that's not an emergency, and boy, that's temptation. That's like putting a cake in front of a diabetic.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things we all have to learn how to avoid. And there's really a unique opportunity here, I think a window that people really should be paying attention to, and that's the new tax rules. Most of us are going to be seeing an increase in our take-home pay starting in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, whatever that increase is, you might figure out how you want to allocate that. Some might go to building, starting, increasing an emergency fund. And if you don't have one, you know, just set a target of $500 to $1,000. You know, you might want to build that over time, but give yourself an achievable goal. And then the next thing is really look at high-priced credit cards if you're carrying balances. So try to pay those down. In a sense, you're paying yourself because you're getting rid of that interest cost. So try to allocate that money because that's a windfall that you probably weren't expecting. Mm. So a great window of opportunity to get ahead of the game here.
I guess what most people would turn to would be credit cards. And I guess any port in a storm, but it's a very expensive storm port thing.
Yeah, and that's why paying down credit cards, I think, is always a goal. I mean, the one thing we suggest people not do is borrow against their 401ks. Because that really gets you behind on your retirement plan. That's really your responsibility. So, again, try to get those credit cards paid down. If you're paying 20 or so percent, that's 20% that's going into your pocket of money that you save.
Yeah. How do you know the difference between a major setback and a minor setback when both of them involve not having enough money like you did before?
Well, those minor setbacks, just ask yourself the question, if you could, because this is one of the statistics that people use a lot, is if you had a $400 emergency, which is sort of the typical cost of a home repair item or something happens to your car, I've had expenses on my car that are more than that. But that's, I think, a good bench place to look. Most people, about half the population, would struggle coming up with that $400.
Yeah.
So try to figure out how you would come up with that $400 right now. And that's, again, how to build that emergency fund. So I think that's a good starting point. And then major expenses are well beyond that. And that's a whole different ball game that you're going to have to figure out how to develop a plan over time.
You know what I find interesting is borrowing money from friends or from family. I don't think that ever gets paid back, does it? I mean, that's usually not a very good road to go.
Well, it's when that happens, we recommend strongly that you have an agreement on what's going to happen and put it in writing that you're expecting to get paid back, when you're going to get paid back, so that there's no disagreement about, oh, I thought you were just helping me out. So if you're willing to do that to help a family member or if you're asking for that help, make sure there's clear expectations on who's going to do what when. You really don't want to deal with family holidays if somebody owns somebody else's money and they're not planning on paying
it back. Right, right. The loss of a job, I assume, is a major setback because sometimes you don't expect that. And that can be very, very difficult, especially if you're self-employed. You can lose a contract and it can be over for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, again, why trying to figure out how you can get some insurance on that by saving some money. And also look at your lifestyle and say, gee, should I shop around for some of the services I use, like cable or other services, and figure out a way that you could cut back. You know, one of the things I like to do is say, if something happened to my income and it dropped by X, what would I do to live within that new time, you know, new framework?
Right.
Because you start to say, gee, there's a lot of stuff I have or fees I pay that if I look at what it goes out in the course of a month, could I really do without them?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of reassuring yourself that you can be in control of your lives and take some steps if that should happen. So think ahead. Hopefully it doesn't happen to you. You don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But it's worth spending a few minutes on. And it's also worth, if you're married or if you've got somebody else in your life or a family, talk with each other so that this isn't a surprise and that you're in agreement on what steps you take to avoid some potential conflict down the road.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who have kids, and when the kids get into high school, all of a sudden the realization is, oh, my God, I got to pay for their college because they want to go, and that's going to be like $50,000, $60,000 a year. Like, whoa, what do we do now? Did they never think of this before? I mean, it's... things come up, sometimes you even know they're coming, but you don't plan for them.
Yeah, and one of the things we see there is they don't kind of get a good handle sitting down with their child early on what school, what do you want to study, the cost differentials. It's not just who's got the best mascot or who's on TV playing football this week. Think about what they want to do. And also plan beyond the first year. This is a mistake we see people make. Is they figure out how to pay for that first year and not for 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's really a four-year thing. A couple of things you can look at is starting at community college. One of the things I tell people is community college and then a transfer to a four-year school. Nobody ever asked me where I started college.
Exactly.
That's where I finished.
Exactly.
So there's some ways you can plan ahead and actually, you know, try to make sure you're not taking risks, but it's all about communication and upfront planning very early on.
Well, there are tons of ideas and tips, fortunately. Tell us where we can find them.
You can go to smartaboutmoney.org. That's our website. We're a nonprofit organization. Everything is there to help you. Nobody's going to try to sell you anything. It's really to help you add financial stability to your lives. So smartaboutmoney.org is a good place to start.
What a refreshing thing, a nonprofit that's trying to help people. You don't hear of that very often.
That's why I have a great job.
Yeah, I'd say so. Pleasure speaking to you, and thanks for the information today.
Great, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ted. Hey, I've got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
I wonder if everybody in Florida wakes up in the morning, everybody who lives in Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach, I wonder if they wake up in the morning and say, what color pants am I going to wear today? Should I wear the pastel pink pants or the banana yellow colored pants? That's a tough choice. I'm in love with both colors. Why is it that people in Florida dress up like they're going to the circus? Like they're the act where they run out with seltzer bottles and chase each other. Why do they dress up in clown clothes? What's with these loud pastel colors? And why, when you play golf, do you have to dress like you're embarrassed? Why can't people just play golf wearing black pants? Why do they have to be the color of various fruits or Starburst candies? What is with the mentality once you move to Florida that you immediately start dressing strange? Is there some kind of a code when you take up residency in any place in Florida? You must dress like you have no taste whatsoever. Is that a rule? If it is a rule, I don't want to ever live there. The embarrassment would kill me. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Goodbye. Dress responsibly.